Hello there, and you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Hello, I'm Morgan O'Reilly, and once again, you're very welcome to Poem of the Week, Near FM's year-long series promoting poetry. The series is a collaboration between Near FM, local poets, and members of the community. Each week, we will be celebrating poetry, both new and old, Irish and international, and published and unpublished work, alongside a significant date in our calendar. This week's poem is The YCVs and the Ulster Division by John Hewitt, read now by Jerry Daw.
Surprise one day, I watched Belfast's Lord Mayor, born on gun carriage, when young citizen volunteers in grey first took the air. Mere lads they looked, too soon they would be men. And, some months later, we went down to see our khaki soldiers marching to the docks to sail away for France to keep us free. Our cheering then my memory often mocks. For later still, as Des limped past or flew, the newsboys yelled hoarse tidings down the street of Jutland's victory, Dardanelle's defeat. And propped on crutches, men in sloppy blue, approached with awe, would tell us stories from the shell-plied fields of Passchendaele and Somme.
The YCVs and the Ulster Division by John Hewitt, read there by poet and scholar Gerald Daw. Gerald, thanks very much for coming into studio.
You're more than welcome.
And that was a lovely reading. Gerald, for our listeners who aren't familiar with John Hewitt, tell us, who was he?
Well, John Hewitt was a leading Northern Irish poet. It's his 110th anniversary of his birthday this year. He died in 1987. He had a long life. He was very proactive. He was a left winger. He was very much involved in the 1930s generation of radical poets. Hewitt has been referred to as the daddy of Ulster poetry and Northern Irish poetry. But I think that probably distorts really his achievements in one sense, that Hewitt was very much involved in the post-partition Ireland, but trying to retain some sense of a unified, coherent Irish culture, notwithstanding the partition of the country in 1921-22. But, I mean, I knew him briefly in the early 70s. I went to see him in his house in Belfast, and he struck me as being a very self-contained man. Had a very scholarly sense of literature, very widely read. You know, a phrase we don't hear so much now, he was a very decent man. And, you know, he read an immense amount of work that, fledgling poets such as myself left on his doorstep. So he was a great contributor. And, I mean, he knew them all. I mean, we were just talking off air there. I mean, he was very close with people like Padraig O'Donnell. He wrote for a lot of the left-wing Republican journals in the early stages, the Irish Republican Congress, people like Frank Ryan, although he did have disputes with some of them.
The aim of this series is, of course, to support and promote poetry in all its forms through the medium of radio. And each poem that we celebrate is also commemorating, in a dual aspect, it's commemorating a specific date during the week of broadcast. And the date that we are celebrating this week is the first day of the Battle of the Somme. And I asked you to choose a poem to commemorate this, you know, momentous date in the history of the world, really. And you chose this poem. So let's get back to the poem now. Why did you choose this poem?
It strikes me as being a very amenable, accessible poem. But I also think it's a very interesting poem because encapsulated inside it, you get the sense of the before, during and after. The anticipation, the excitement, the exhilaration of, you know, seeing men marching, going down to the docks to see them on their way. And then the slow but sure attrition, as he says, for later still, the newsboys are yelling tidings about the German victory in Jutland, and the huge defeat at the Dardanelles, which of course included large numbers of Irishmen from all over the island of Ireland. That was a huge defeat and a big, big shock. And then the reality of seeing these men return propped on crutches, men in sloppy blue. And the use of the word sloppy, as you said, you almost can kind of see inside that poppy. But also the fact, the reason why the it's sloppy is because they're limbless, parts of them, no arms. So that, you know, the uniform, the blue uniform, is revealing the damage that's been done. And how the young boy, the young Hewitt, approaches these men with awe as they tell him stories of the wonderful phrase, the shell ploughed fields of Passchendaele and Somme. I mean, I grew up in Belfast in the 1950s, and it just shows you how history is kind of, it has its own pulse. And I remember men, veterans, I would have been about 5, 6 or 7 in the 50s. And of course, they would have been in their late 50s or early 60s or early 70s. And they would still be around Belfast. In fact, my grandmother, who I grew up with, she had a friend who we referred to as Uncle Oswald, who had fought in World War One, and he suffered gassing. So he had this desperate wheeze. And to be a young boy surrounded by that, I can understand why Hewitt has it. We approached with awe.
We can't forget that while this series celebrates poetry, we're also using poetry as a medium to celebrate important dates in our calendar. On the 1st of July, after a 5-day artillery bombardment, the British and French armies attacked the German positions in the Somme, triggering the beginning of one of the bloodiest battles in human history. More than 3 million men fought in this battle, and 1 million men were either wounded or killed, including 57,000 British casualties on the first day. Irish casualties were similarly catastrophic, with some 3,500 Irish deaths. The 36th Ulster Division arguably suffered the worst of it though, with 2,000 men drawn almost entirely from one community killed in the first few hours of fighting on the 1st of July, an event which has seared itself into the folk memory of Ulster heritage. The battle raged for nearly 5 months, and it wasn't until the 18th of November that the guns finally fell silent. The British and French forces had penetrated 10 kilometres into German territory. What do you think the difference is between John Hewitt's poem, the YCVs and the Ulster Division, in how it approaches World War One and the Somme, and another poem that we featured on this series, one that I know you're quite familiar with, Michael Longley's Wounds? What is the difference between how the two poets approach the Battle of the Somme and World War One in the Northern Irish psyche?
Well, I think Michael Longley's great poem, Wounds, had a huge impact because it connects directly with his father's story. His father fought in World War One and was injured. And it's a dramatic, very dramatic poem. The opening canto gives us that sense of war as it's being unleashed. And then it connects directly between the experience of World War One and the experience of the Troubles. So it was a big poem, making an extraordinary connection which hadn't really been explored at the time the poem was first published. Hewitt's sequence, Kites in Spring, is an autobiographical sequence, as I've already said. And these are like snapshots of his past leading into war and then through war and at, you know, the other side of it. The root, the R-O-U-T-E, of Longley's poem is a different kind. It's not meditative in the sense that Hewitt's is. It's much more a dramatic piece. And I think probably, actually, it's probably, Longley's poem is probably more political in its final damning phrase. Sorry, missus, I think is what he said, the assassin, the murderer, of the Troubles, in Wounds. So, in a way, opening up the reality of war and reminding people of its brutality is something that Michael Longley has done in so many of his poems from an early stage right to the current volumes. Hewitt seems to me to be a much more, dare we say, a much more contained poet, that these sonnets of which this poem that we're talking about is one, that these sonnets are almost like, you know, a family album. They're photographs or snapshots that we look at and move on.
Jerry, it's been a pleasure having you in studio here. A true pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.
And I wish you all the best with your new volumes of poetry and your new book coming out.
Thank you kindly.
Gerald Daw was born in Belfast, Northern Ireland in 1952. He has published 8 collections of poetry and 4 volumes of essays, as well as editing various anthologies of poetry and literary criticism. He is Professor of English and Fellow of Trinity College Dublin, where he is also Founder Director of the Oscar Wilde Centre. His newest book, The Wrong Country, which is a follow-up to 2015's Of War and War's Alarms, is nearing completion and will hopefully be published in 2018. That's it from us for this week. A big thank you to this week's contributor, our production team and everyone at Near FM, and also to Paula Meehan for her advice and support on this series. Poem of the Week is broadcast every Monday at 12 noon and every Saturday at 10 a.m. Join us next time for Poem of the Week. Good luck and God bless.
This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.